This podcast is proud to be part of the TalkSport Fan Network. TalkSport. Powered by fans.
There's never been a faster or easier way to start your weight loss journey than with PlushCare. PlushCare accepts most insurance plans and gives you online access to board-certified physicians who can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Take charge of your health and speak with a board-certified physician about a weight loss plan that's right for you. Get started today at plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss. plushcare.com/weightloss.
The TalkSport Fan Network is proudly supported by McDelivery, bringing you the food you love. McDelivery brings a top-tier lineup of food right to your door. No matter the result, you'll always be winning with McDelivery. So the only thing left to say is, you in? Order now on the McDonald's app. You can also get reward points delivered too. So the ordering today means some tasty rewards for tomorrow. Only via app at participating restaurants. 18 plus. Rewards registration required. Points only on menu items. Delivery fee and terms apply. See mcdonalds.com.
All right. So everyone's good?
Yep.
So do you say? Hold on. Almost said the bad word.
This can all go out on the pod. Mikey just uploads everything. So hello, pod listeners.
So then, yes, we'll do that. We'll do that beginning also. So let us begin. Hello and welcome to the match preview. As we look forward to the upcoming fixture between Crystal Palace and Luton Town. I'm joined today by Nick. Hello, Nick.
Hello. How's it going?
And T. How are you, T?
What's going on, man?
So remember, please hit the like button, subscribe for future content. And if you listen to the podcast, give us a little thumbs up on whatever app you're listening to. We really appreciate it.
Absolutely.
So big match coming up, gentlemen, against Luton Town. Let me get your quick thoughts from everyone on the Nick first. Your thoughts on the Spurs match.
Quietest atmosphere in an away ground that holds nearly 70,000 people I've known. And the Palace fans were taking the mix, saying, is this Highbury, whatever. I only went because an old school pal, Jolly Jenkins, is completing his 92. I wouldn't have bothered otherwise. And up until the 75th minute, I was thinking, actually, yeah, I've made the right decision here because we seem to be holding Tottenham all right. Yes, they were the better team. But were it not for an error from Joachim Anderson, perhaps we might have had a different story. We all knew that Son was going to score anyway, because he always does. I think we just ran out of steam, and it just brings up the debate of rich teams having better benches and being able to make changes with far more high-quality players than the likes of us little teams like Palace, Fulham, Burnley, Sheffield United, Luton, etc. can do. And it's just exacerbated the top six gap with maybe Villa bucking the trend this season.
Yeah, we'll get to the recruitment part when we talk about Doug in a bit. But I just want to say again, as I mentioned on the player ratings, I actually put a bet on Werner anytime score and Son anytime score. So I won some money. But don't kill me. I know I shouldn't have done that, but I was trying to jinx them. It didn't work. T, your thoughts on the match?
I know. Tale of two matches, somewhat, man. Really impressed by the way we came out, how we handled things. I didn't like how much possession we gave up. And I don't know, I guess I think part of it might have been just the caution of the manager because of, you know, not feeling like we maybe could have implemented the system all the way. But I mean, I felt like we gave him a little bit too much respect, and even with giving them that respect, we were still able to grab the 1-0 lead. But yeah, mistakes in the second half, along with I think some subs that were less than desirable. I was actually surprised to see Will Hughes come on, if I'm being quite honest with you. But nonetheless, I think a learning phase, a learning step for us. I think this result would have been a lot more hurtful for us had we not gotten the victory last week.
Great.
So I feel like, you know, we could stand to lose this one a little bit more, being that we got the 3 points last week, and now we can hopefully go into next week against Luton and come out on top.
Yeah, the first I thought we'd go at them more because we talked before the game about the kind of positivity of Glasner and how it wasn't going to be Roy Ball, but actually it did seem to be like that. And I was thinking, oh, maybe we'll do a Wolves and put a couple past them at least. Right. But then I looked back at the stats for the Wolves game after the Palace, after we played
very similar to the weekend,
and it was very low possession for Wolves.
Yep.
So right. you're not going to go to Spurs and take them on. And I hate the phrase "free hit,"
but what I mean,
you know. But it is what it is. They're a top five, top six team. And we haven't beaten them since 1997. And, you know, I'm getting to the point where I'd like to see us beat Tottenham almost more than I'd like to see us win a trophy.
Don't say that. No. We're going to get back to the tactics part when we talk about tactics for Luton. But I want to talk about quickly about the under-21s. The reason is they have now got undefeated so far this season. They've made the semifinals of one tournament and the quarterfinals of another. And yesterday at the time of recording, they beat Stoke City in a Premier League two-match 2-1. But I want to bring it up because there are a couple of players in that team I want to talk about very quickly. One, mm-hmm. Danny Ingray, the right wing back, who now has 8 goals on the season. If you don't follow the 21, they play a very similar style to Glasner. It's not Glasner typical, but they've been doing it all season. They've been playing with 3 centre backs, wing backs. You got 2 defensive midfielders in the middle, and then they kind of rotate the 3 attacking players. Imre's doing really well. I think he might need a loan before he gets in the side, but I think, honestly, next season with him as a backup to Munoz could be big. And I'll get your guys' comment on that too. But I want to add 2 more players. One is Frankie Uma. Been training with the first team for quite a bit. Scored again yesterday. I think he's got 9 or 10 goals this season. Doing really, really well. Young kid from Ireland. I think he's got a big future ahead. Rashawn Mathurin. Bellona's Trialis B scored again yesterday. He's got 8 goals this season again. Another guy doing real well. And lastly, happy big shout out, Nathan Ferguson came on yesterday, 30 minutes. Listen, man, I know people have made comments about him. I'm so happy for that kid. He's been through hell as a Palace player with injuries. Hopefully that's just a precursor to him getting some first team before the end of the season, but really good news about him. So, just I'll go to UTT first. Any thoughts on either the Ferguson comeback, Imre, Uma, Mathurin, anything on the 21? I know you follow him a lot, so.
Being quite honest with you, I am so impressed with Danny Imre. And I think that the implementation of Glasner's system will work in his favor more than anybody else that's coming through our academy ranks right now. Because there is an immediate need for what he can provide. And that's cover to right wing back. Now, I'm not saying he's Premier League ready. I'm not saying that at all. But what I am saying is that he has an opportunity now to play with the first team through the summer, get some good reps. And if he, you know, doesn't find himself possibly sliding into a reserve role behind Munoz, then, like you said, Patrick, he finds himself probably going on a high caliber loan or a really good loan, yep. that will probably set him up for stepping into a role with us down the road.
Never mind the summer, T. After we've played Luton, we're not playing again until the 30th, so we've got quite a bit of time.
So he could find himself in training with them, yeah.
Yeah, dependent on fixtures for the under-21s, but there's no reason why not.
Yeah, and I mean, and with that being said, you know, talking about squad depth and things like that, I mean, he feels a need that we have as far as having that protection from Munoz. And who knows, you know, God forbid anything happens to Munoz. But we've seen multiple times in this club's history when a first team player goes down and the young guys thrust in there and they perform. So really impressed by him. Franco's done an amazing job. He stepped in and has been training a lot with the senior guys. I've always been impressed with Sean Mathurin back to the Tottenham days. Like, I still don't know how we got him, but I'm happy we did. I guess they ran out of patience with him after that ACL injury.
So
I think he could find himself getting a loan after this season and playing some good minutes somewhere. I think the plan that has been set forward for the academy is really coming into the view a little bit when you got such talented players that are coming through the ranks. And we haven't talked about guys like Jaden Raymond. We haven't talked about Wells Morrison or Devin or even the younger guys like the 18 guys that are coming through with Marsh and
Mustafa.
And Mustafa and Derry, you know, or is it
Derry?
Yeah, Derry. Like there is a ton of talent that's coming through this academy. And that excites me a lot because, you know, FFP is going to handcuff us as far as being able to add true talent to the senior squad. So the best bet we got is to really start bringing up and developing these young guys.
Nick, I want to pivot now to the director of football. Now, rumors have come out lately of Dougie Freeman possibly going to Man United. Emma doesn't know Dougie was a former Bolton Wanderers manager. Apparently, his family lives up north. He's his father-in-law is Ray Clements, former Liverpool goalkeeper, Spurs goalkeeper. He's got a lot of ties to the north, and apparently, again, they're looking for him to come in as head of recruitment under Dan Ashworth, which I think wouldn't be a great idea for him. But anyway, what is what it is. What are your thoughts, Nick, on possibly losing Dougie Freeman to Man United?
Well, at least we've got an inkling this time. If he does go,
right? It's not gonna come out the blue.
No, but one, I'll believe it when I see it because it's been in the Mirror, it's been in whatever other media over here in the UK. It's a difficult one because I think he seems to get on with Glasner when in that first game. Or the game before Glasner joined, when Paddy was in charge and he was sat next to Freeman, he was leaning across Mark Bright to chat, but he was chatting a lot with Dougie Freeman. They seem to be getting on quite well. Now Dougie's kind of Palace through and through, isn't he? He said it in the interview about how much he regretted going before when a previous incarnation of Back in the Nest got an exclusive interview with him just before he came back. Now he's good at picking out players from lower leagues and abroad. Now I'm not sure that Man United fans would be happy with that model. And I'm not sure that the people running Man United will think that they'll make money off the back of signing lesser known players than they would if they signed, for instance, Modric. Instantly, they've got millions of shirt sales with Modric on the back. I know he's a bit old and there's no way they're going to sign him because he's a bit old, however good he is now. But I'm not sure that he's going to be the best fit there.
The model doesn't
But it is what it is. But Man United are going through a real transitory phase at the moment. That said, it might be good if Glasner would have a say in a director of football that perhaps he wants, or even because I've read before when he took over that's his background. And he actually, when he first started managing, I'm sure it said at one of the clubs he was at that he actually kind of did both.
He did.
Was it Rabbit Vane or was it?
It was the first. I think it was the last one he took.
Yeah, okay.
And he actually, Glasner seems a decent bloke who just my first impressions of him would put a good case for you wanting to go and work for him.
Yeah.
So it kind of fulfills that role. But in conclusion, just give Dougie a pay rise so we can keep him, because he's got some awesome players for us over the years. And I'll be very sad to see him go.
True, yeah.
But until I see it, it's not news till it's happened. So let's worry about it then.
Yeah, I'm there too. I'm not going to go into it too much. I just think that we have a decent model. I think we have a great team, recruitment team. There's no doubt that Dougie is the key part to it, especially the relationship with players. Like Wharton's family, a perfect example, how that Wharton thing went on for a year and a half because of Dougie. But as far as identifying players, I think that's a club thing. But I mean, I wouldn't want to see him leave. And like Nick said, let's see what happens going forward.
Just on Wharton, isn't he a good player? I packed him in FIFA today. He's a bronze 68 with really shy passing. Come on, EA, sort your lives out.
I don't know what that means.
The youth will know what I'm talking about.
Exactly.
But his card is shit in EA.
Basically, Patrick, he got him in a video game, and he's nowhere near as good as he actually is in real life.
No, the funny thing is, I know video games. I mean, I play Football Manager all the time. I just don't know what EA. I don't play FIFA.
In their ultimate team, you can unpack players. So players that are caught.
Gotcha.
So you unpack a player, you get his card. That means you can play him on your team. But he unpacked Wharton, and Wharton wasn't good at all.
Talking of Football Manager, Palace for Life tweeted today that they were very pleased to see that they're featured in the game on the hoardings around the edge during the Football Manager game. So that's good.
I'll get back to it. I haven't even paid attention. I'll let you know because I play all the time.
That'd be kind of crazy.
Let's move on to Luton Town this upcoming Saturday. So you guys may or may not know, they have not won in the last seven. They've lost their last five in a row. Their last win was against Brighton, 4-0 at home.
Brighton. Yep, 4-0. Yeah.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. HelloFresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
Away days are great, but there's nothing quite like playing at home. The same goes for McDonald's. Maximize your home ground advantage with McDelivery. You in? Order now on the McDonald's app. At participating restaurants, 18 plus, serving times, delivery fee and terms apply. See mcdonalds.com.
Yeah. T, your thoughts on this upcoming fixture? What do you think about it?
I'm still very optimistic about the matchup. Luton is definitely playing better than they were at the beginning of the season, but I believe, Patrick, you mentioned that they've lost like maybe two of their last five or something along those lines. So, I mean, they're definitely, of course, a beatable team. We're playing at home. You know, it's another week for Glasner to be in training with the squad, implementing his strategy, his teaching, his techniques. So, I mean, I'm optimistic in seeing that we can get a good result, 3 points out of this one, especially if we're playing well like we did in the first home match.
Nick, thoughts on possible lineup changes? Now, just a little, it's early in the week, so I don't have a total update, but obviously Gehi won't be available. Eze was back, and apparently IU had a hip injury, but Glada mentioned after the game, you don't think that was that serious. So what do you think going to Saturday we should do as far as lineup, Nick?
Get Hughes off the bench and put another goalie in there if needs be.
I thought you said get him off the bench and start him. I was like, wait a minute, Nick.
No.
But I like where you went with that.
sorry, Hughesy. I love you, mate. You're so funny. But yeah, you didn't do yourself any favours at the Tottenham Stadium. Look, we've got to set out as we have set out because we want to gel. And I'd kind of like to see an unchanged team, if at all possible. Fingers crossed, IU's injury isn't that bad. And as you said, you know, Glasner said he didn't think it was that bad anyway, post-match. I want to see Mitchell kind of step up a little bit, because he seemed to be caught out against Tottenham. I'd like to see Anderson be a bit more confident when he's filling in on the wings at the back if the left back is forward, because that's what costs the goal. Hopefully he'll have learned a lesson about that. I want to see us take them on a bit more, and I think it'll be a little bit easier. We just need to make sure that when our wing backs are going forward, if a wing back's going forward, we've got cover there, because I think that's going to be the tactic, is a diagonal balls across to the corners from Luton. It'll be funny to see Angels Townsend playing against us again. I wish him all the best. I wish we kept him in a way. But Luton just keep going. Who's that guy they got from Everton, who I hate, but is just
Ross
solid footy? That's Ross Barkley.
Ross Barkley's been amazing this season. He's having a career revival this season.
And they're also a team that is their first season up. They were in National League 10 years ago. And okay, I remember when they were big before, kind of in the 80s, when it was them and QPR were kind of rivals because they had plastic pitches. No other reason than that. But it's not going to be an easy game, because Luton are fighting for their lives. They really are. And what's their 8 points difference between us at the moment? Luton got a game in hand. So they, you know, could potentially, if we lose and they win their game in hand, they could be within 2 points of us. So it is a must win, but we will have the support behind us. And I think that really plays an important part to get forward.
So, I'm going to get to that. I want to talk about some of the injuries. Sambi Lokonga, former Palace loanee, who's been playing really well for them, is currently has a hamstring. Adebayo, one of the forwards, has a thigh injury. Tom Lockie is out. Marvelous McComber is also out with a knee injury. He's out to end of May. So they have quite a few injuries. We talk about our injuries, obviously, you know. Yeah, Decore, obviously, Raksaki, Gehi, Olise, Holding. But they have quite a few injuries, too. So, obviously, the Burnley match, man. I mean, Glasner's first game. Nick mentioned about, you know, it's an important game. Right now, again, we are 8 points. A win puts us 11 points. And to me, that gap is a gap that Luton cannot possibly, I don't think they can pull that back. A draw leaves it at eight, but gives us, you know, another point further away from other teams, possibly. So in your mind, T, is this a must win game or a must not lose game?
Must not lose. Because I think if we're speaking specifically to the relegation battle, at this point, you're just trying to stack points. And in this situation, even if it, like you said, if it is a draw and it goes one each and we stay at 8 points above them, that's another point. That's another point away from the other teams. And in the grand scheme of it, it's like, hey, at some point, somebody's going to slip up. Let's just make sure it's not us. You know what I mean? So down the road, Luton's going to drop some matches or drop a match or two, and we're going to pick up some points. And that's kind of the thought behind it. So I think it's a must not lose match more than a must win match.
Do we all concur that Burnley and Sheffield United are definitely gone now? Because it's got to be a miracle.
I mean,
that last place, isn't it?
They're 13 points, man. Like, it's not happening. It's not. It's like they would have to have a miracle run.
And the other thing is we know that I think it's going to be in about a month that we find out any further punishment that Everton might get and Nottingham Forest. Now, Everton are in deep trouble. The fans are turning against Daesh big style, and that doesn't help at all. We saw it's kind of what happened to us. So I think he's going to struggle to dig himself out of that hole. As for Forrest, I'd almost say that away to Forrest is going to be just as important, which is our next game after on the 30th of March, isn't it? That we've got two, I hate the phrase, six-pointers. I think if we win one of those, we'll be fine. But I'm not gonna beat myself up over it if we do fall to a defeat on Saturday, because I think we're still relatively safe, especially with Glasner. And the more time he has, I think the more attacking we'll be, more creative we'll be. The players will know more about what they're doing, and hopefully, it will work.
So I want to go to one more thing. It's been doing its rounds on the internet as far as our proclivity. Is that the right word for giving up goals off the 75th minute? Is that right?
Yeah.
So we have given up 20 of our 47 goals off the 75th minute, which is 43% of the goals we've conceded. We have actually 14 points we've given away by conceding goals in the 80th minute or onwards. So think about that. Imagine we had those 14 points back.
That puts us over 40. That puts us over 40 points, doesn't it?
42 points we have right now. We would actually be...
be pushing top 10.
That's what happens when your fucking manager gives everybody Sunday off and wants to go for a nice roast with a posh bottle of wine. I may be wrong there, but 3 days a week, your fitness is not going to be as good as if you're doing more than that, is it? Surely. I'm not a professional athlete, Pat.
I just want to point one thing out really quickly.
Go ahead.
It goes back to the discussion that we were talking about, you know, possibly winning this next one and taking the one against Nottingham Forest. When I'm looking at our schedule, we need results against Nottingham. We need results against Luton, because you come back and you're finishing your schedule with Man City, Liverpool, West Ham, Fulham, Man United, Wolves, Aston Villa. Like, those are tough.
Awful.
And Newcastle, which has to be rescheduled. Yeah. So we're ending the season with a gauntlet of matches that we're going to be trying to find points in. You know what I mean?
So it's and like, the other teams around us haven't got difficult games.
I don't know. I don't know what other people's schedules look like, but I'm just saying ours, as far as where we're getting points from, like, or where we're getting 3 points from, especially.
Let's play that game real quick, all right? So I'll give you Everton's schedule rest of the season. Bournemouth away, Newcastle away, Burnley home, Chelsea away, Forest at home, Brentford at home, Luton away, Sheffield United home, and Arsenal last game of the season, which could be massive for Arsenal. And
that's at least 12 to 15 points that they could get there off in winning matches against teams like Luton, Sheffield.
Right. I'll give you Forest.
Sorry, Patrick, before you tell us Forest, how many of those games are going to be psychologically tiring for them, given how many they're playing teams around them? Because you've got to know if you're playing Man United or maybe not so much Man United, but if you're going to be playing City and Arsenal, you're pretty much, although we've said we hated going into mentality of a game knowing that you're going to lose, but in all probability, you're going to lose, aren't you?
Yep.
So it's kind of psychologically less damaging, unless you get beat 5 or 6-0, than losing against, if Forest lose against Luton or Luton lose against Forest, it's going to make it that much harder than losing against Man United and Chelsea and whatever in the list that we've got. So I don't know. I'm just putting that out there.
It's a great point, but I'll also say that I think that this year's title race, having three teams, Liverpool, Arsenal and City, are going to make it near impossible for the teams in the bottom to win those matches. We're in the past where you drop a game here or there because there are three teams in. I think chance of like Everton going there and winning the game again on the Luton or Nottingham Forest or us, for instance, we're done, right? We've got City and Liverpool. Oh my god.
City,
play them both. Yep. We got Liverpool to play.
Away as well.
You're playing back
away.
To back.
Well, one away, yeah, one home.
So
very quickly, I'll give you Forest, Brighton away, Luton home, us home, Fulham home, Spurs away, Wolves home, Everton away, City home, Sheffield United, banker, away, Chelsea. You know what? Burnley. Nottingham Forest are not going down. Not with that schedule.
What, even with points deduction?
That would, okay, great point. That might be the only thing I'm going to say.
That might be the strong.
That would be that. That could be the killer. And then really quickly, Luton. Luton's got us, Bournemouth away, Forest at home, Spurs away, Arsenal away, Bournemouth home, City away, Brentford home, Wolves away, Everton, big match. May 4th, Everton Luton's going to be a massive game. West Ham away, and then Fulham at home last game. They're so far, they could struggle. Okay, so for me, I'm going to go back, rewind this back to what we just said before. For me, this is a pretty much a must-win game for us. I think we've got to win this game. T makes a great point. I didn't even want to look forward, but those last 10 fixtures are going to be death. We talked about Vieira last year, that run that he had middle of that season, what got him fired. Fulham aside, maybe Wolves aside, that gauntlet of the games is going to be just as difficult. So I think it'd be difficult for us to go into those games needing points. I'm not saying we can't get points out of it, because I have a lot of confidence in Glasner. This 3-week break is going to be massive for us. I hope we're going away to Bodo Glimt or someone, playing someone.
Apparently, playing in Marbella.
Marbella with Marbella, which is awesome. Marbella, so that would be good for us. I just think that, but I just still think, again, Tease makes a great point. Forest and Luton, these two matches, get 6 points, we're golden. Don't get 6 points, we could be in trouble. So having said all of that, and I'll give you the referee for the game. This is for you, Nick. The first ever British South Asian referee, Premier League history, will be doing our game. His name is Sonny Singh Gill. Good luck to him. I'm not going to call him rubbish yet because I haven't seen him. You know, I'm not a referee.
Right, so nobody can talk bad about him. Nobody can talk bad about him before the game.
I've got a friend on Twitter, at Acid Nails, who's an Aldershot fan, and said he was refereeing in the National League 2 seasons ago.
Wow, what a
race. So he must be good if he's got promoted. And he said, as far as he can remember, he was a good ref.
Good. Really? We look forward to it. So obviously, last game at home was a brilliant game for Glasner. Got the red card. We were all over them. I think it could be similar this time. But again, we did lose the game away to Luton. First time we ever lost them in the Premier League. Obviously, first time we actually played them in the Premier League. So let me go to predictions. Let's go Nick first. What are you predicting for this game?
4-3 Palace.
I'm writing that down. I'm writing that down.
4-3?
It's a cup semi-final. Yeah, Liverpool. Mm. I'm writing that down. 1990 semi-final score. 4-3. T, what about you?
I'll go 3-1 Palace.
3-1. I'm going to go 2-1 Palace. I'm confident we get the win, but I'm not confident of a clean sheet.
I can't go with the clean sheet just because.
Even though we got against Burnley, I'm not confident with that. So, gotta wrap it up, folks. Again, please like, subscribe, share when it comes out. Podcast, download it. Appreciate everyone for listening, tuning in. We are very close. We're getting close to that 5,000 on YouTube. So again, for D, all hard work he does. Please, if you can, share, subscribe, like.
Where is Patrick?
He's in.
Where is he, by the way?
He's in Saudi. Dubai.
He's in Saudi Dubai.
Yeah, he's going to Saudi and Dubai.
He's in Dubai today. He's going to Saudi for. I think he's going to Mecca. I don't want to share the kid's business, but yeah, he's going for
man's like, fair enough.
He deserved the break. He puts in a lot of hard work. He really does. The kid works hard. So unfortunately, you'll have me around for a while. Please, no comments in the. But anyway, so again, get for me, hell. Patrick, Nick, T. appreciate everybody. Until next time, come on, you Palace.
Eagles.
It's the 90th minute. All your mates around. You've got your McNugget share boxes ready to go. Your mates already got booked for double dipping and you steal the last nugget, snatching all 3 points. Perfect. Order McDelivery now on the McDonald's app. You in? At participating restaurants, 18 plus, serving times, delivery fee and terms apply. See mcdonalds.com.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. HelloFresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
This podcast is proud to be part of the TalkSport Fan Network. TalkSport. Powered by fans.